So when you pay much attention to what goes on in the world, and when you teach a worldview class to high school juniors and seniors, you realize that there is no end to taking a bad idea and making it worse. Right? And so there's a bad idea, and this is in some famous books. It comes from a very famous sermon. Oprah Winfrey called this the most powerful sermon she's ever heard. And it's a sermon called The Power of I Am. And when you hear about the power of I Am, you go, oh, cool, burning bush. The self-sustaining God speaks, there's power, and no, it's actually the power of you are. And the ability to say things and cause them to come true. And this made its way into a 31-day devotional book where every day you say something so that it will come true. And the author says you have to be very, very careful what you say out loud because your words are a magnet. And whatever you say will come and find you, literally his words. And he says it's okay to think them, just don't say them. Which, yeah, so anyway, this is a quote. Whatever comes after the words I am will come looking for you. I'll say it again. Whatever comes after the words I am will come looking for you. And this is a direct quote. Whatever follows I am will eventually find you. When you say, I am so clumsy, clumsiness comes looking for you. When you say, I am so old, wrinkles come looking for you. Some of you need to be quiet. No, just kidding. Just kidding. The next one's for me. If you say, I am so overweight, calories come looking for you. I'm a calorie magnet, ladies and gentlemen. It's as though you are inviting them. Whatever you follow the I am with, you're handing it an invitation, and you give it permission to be in your life. The good news is you get to choose what follows the I am, and when you go through the day saying, I am blessed, blessings come looking for you. If you say, I am talented, talent comes looking for you. You may not feel up to par, but when you say, I am healthy, health starts heading your way. If you say, I am strong, strength will track you down. That's why you have to be careful what follows the I am. Don't say it out loud. So there's a great video online where this person and Oprah lead this crowd in these declarations. I'm strong, I'm healthy, I'm secure, I'm talented, I'm creative, I'm disciplined, I'm focused, I'm beautiful, I'm victorious, and it just gets louder and louder. And there's this final declaration that says, I am special and I am extraordinary, I am not average, I have been custom made, I am one of a kind. Of all the things God created, he is most proud of me. I am his masterpiece. And so you go through this book, I am prosperous, I am attractive, I am full of health, full of vitality, full of wholeness, I am young, I am energetic, I am vibrant, I am radiant, I am fresh, not sure what that means, no expiration date, I suppose, I am improving, I am a masterpiece, I am royalty. So, of course, this raises 1,000,000,000 questions. Why these declarations? Why not, I am humble, I am kind, I am loving? You know, why not that? But like I said, you can take a bad idea and you can make it worse. And this is when we were studying kind of the New Age movement in class this week with these juniors and seniors, and where you take this idea and you say, well, there's this incredible video of Oprah there doing a movie interview, and there's these two other actresses with her, and they're just fawning like she's the queen and just over every word. And the interviewer says, I wrote you on my vision board for this year, and the fact that you're here is because I manifested you. Basically, I've thought thoughts and made you appear. And Oprah said, no, I'm taking it up a notch. I no longer have to even write things down. I can just think them. I'm such a powerful manifester. I can just, and she talks about how she manifested Steven Spielberg, you know, and she's just going through all this stuff, and you're just going, this is unbelievable. So what you do is you create this depersonalized universe that wants to give you good things, right? And if you watch her, she'll tell you, you know, the universe is good and it vibrates at a certain frequency. And if you can get your heart to vibrate at the right frequency, then the frequencies attract each other. And whatever it is you vibrate at, you draw the vibration to yourself. Now, it's the declaration of that I really want to focus on. Because when you see people declaring that, the first thing you want to ask, well, is it true? I mean, it may be that someone declaring I am healthy is the worst thing they can do, right? Like if you were like 2 months from dying of cancer and your doctor just declared, oh, no, you're healthy, you'd go, I'm not sure if that's going to make it true, doctor, right? Maybe, yeah, you have to ask the question. When I am exhorted by a man with a Bible to declare health, wealth, and prosperity and youthful vigor instead of declaring humility, meekness, love, courage, patience, and kindness, and I watch and I go, do you really believe that? Or are you just kind of hoping that if you say it loud enough to yourself enough times that it will come true eventually? And what I want to show you today is there's an opposite way to approach this. Because we're still left the question with, what do you do with affirmation? Because the Bible does it. The Bible affirms. And they use the term positive affirmation, which, I don't know you about you, that seems a bit redundant, positive affirmation. Because I think a negative affirmation is called a rebuke. Right? Let me negatively affirm you. Please do, right? No, it's so there's affirmation in Scripture. What do you do when Scripture affirms something good about you? Does that make you uncomfortable when someone takes something good and says it, right? You know what that feels like if you're uncomfortable by that. Back in one of my Master Life books from when I was very, very first discipled at 19 years old, Clueless, go into this room with these people and we start doing this discipleship stuff, and we're in there for like a year. And there was a moment where we were to encourage another person and talk about the reaction we received. And the person who was leading this group, I will never forget, she wrote a little note, and this is what she said. I feel like Dean neither wants nor needs my affirmation. That's interesting, isn't it? Because the truth is, I was probably starving for it. I just had no idea what to do when someone said good things to me, right? But the whole point is this, and this is how I want you to get from that to this. There are declarations that are true because God says them, not because you just want them to be true. In other words, we do not make declarations true by speaking them. These declarations are true because God already spoke them. You see the difference? God-given, unchanging truths about who you are and who He is and who you will be by the grace of God is told you by your Creator. So you see the difference? It's not true because you spoke it and convinced yourself it will be true. It's true because God already said it. You see the difference between those two things, because that's night and day difference between those two things. And so this morning, I get to do something wonderful in this room. Totally wonderful. I get to read from Scripture truth about who we are because John did it. I get to simply offer affirmation. And yes, it's positive. No, it's good. The question will be, can we receive this? Right? So if you have a Bible in front of you, you may notice there's something different going on when you get to 1 John 2:12. Especially if you have a print Bible, you can see, wait a minute, this is like indented differently. It's like somebody hit the tab button all the way down to the end of verse 14. It's set apart from the rest of the text. Is this some sort of poem? Is this some sort of poetry? What is this? It's set apart. It's different. And if you take everything we've done up to now, not everything, but some of what we've done up to now as maybe a response to some false teaching they are receiving. You remember? Well, if you say this, then you're calling God a liar and you're not, the truth isn't abiding you, right? If you say this, But if this, and he counters it with the truth. So it's as if there's someone telling them these false things, these untrue things, and he's having to go back, and we're going to see this a lot in the rest of the book. He's having to go back and say, no, that's not true. This is true. And it's almost as if he takes a moment to say, listen, let me just reassure you. Let me reassure you about who you are and what Christ has done for you. And we've been talking about every week, I've been mentioning, 1 John was written, remember, so that we would have fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ, so that we'd have fellowship with one another. This was written for joyful fellowship. This was not written to make sure you're a Christian or not. And when you read these verses, you go, well, the whoever wrote this couldn't have thought they weren't Christians, or he wouldn't have said this about them. And so he's just affirming and declaring what is true. Now, there's three groups of people. And if you're one of those, you know, poetry people, you're lining up the A's and the B's and the C's. And so if you need that, it's ABC, ABC. And it's little children, fathers, young men. Then children, fathers, young men. And probably not literal little children, fathers, and young men, because that would be kind of interesting, I suppose, if someone showed up and said, hey, we've got a letter from John this morning. I'm going to read it. Okay, kids, here's one for you. Young men, here's one for you. Fathers, here's one for you. Mom's got nothing for you. Sorry, John doesn't like women, I suppose, right? No, that's not what's going on here. John's writing to three different kinds of groups of people, and it's fascinating how this works, because there are, for the children, if you will, entry-level truths that are beautiful and glorious, and then there's young men level truths, if you will, and then the mature level truths, and they're all truths that need to be affirmed to us and declared to us, if you will, minimal level experience, advanced mature experience, and that sounds strange until you hear me say it, because I'm not trying to put us all on different levels, but there is a sense of innocence and dependence that moves on in strength and experience in all of this as we go through. So let me read it and let you receive this, and let's just run back through it and put it together. So here you go. Pastor John writes his local church a letter, and Pastor John sends a letter to you all. And this is what he says. I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. Fathers get the same thing twice. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. That is God's word for you. Not true because you speak it as such. True because it's in his book. I'm writing to you, little children. So think of this, if you will, minimum level glorious, wonderful, incredible experience. Not the first time he's even said little children. He said it twice so far, children. Chapter 2, verse 1, you see it there. He'll say it again in chapter 4, verse 4. The entire letter seems to be written for little children, so you can receive it as a child. Your sins are forgiven. So can I just say that to you? And this is a word that in the grammar of John's language, it means they have been forgiven and they remain forgiven. Your sins have been forgiven, pardoned, sent away, debt paid. You need to receive that this morning. That is God declaring that to you. God looks at you this morning and says, you don't owe me anything. His wounds have paid your ransom. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful? Can you receive that? Is there like fear and trepidation? Go, well, maybe, what about, maybe he doesn't mean me. He means you, right? It's dismissed. It's sent away. All sin, all wrongdoing, all evil. And all for his name's sake, right? It's for the honor of his name, because you didn't earn it, you didn't deserve it, I didn't earn it, I didn't deserve it. It's for the praise of his glorious grace. It is undeserved, unearned, therefore it is for his name, through his name, right? You don't rejoice in forgiveness as if somehow God looked at you and said, you're my fave, forgiven. The rest of my kids, they're still working on it, but you're my fave, sins forgiven, debt released. You say, whoa, who is this Jesus that he would forgive me? What a gracious, gracious God. Psalm 25:11. Listen to this. This is a plea, but I love this. Psalm 25:11. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. It's a request. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it's great. In other words, I'm not asking for any glory from this. My sin is so great. For the glory of your name, would you forgive it? I don't know how that works in interpersonal relationships, but then I kind of do, because the glory is in the forgiver, right? I mean, I don't recommend if you owe somebody $1,000, hey, for the glory of your name, how about I don't owe you $1,000 anymore? That's between you and your friend in the bank, I suppose. The forgiver gets the glory, right? And so repentance and forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. I'm writing to you fathers because you know him who is from the beginning or has been from the beginning. I love this truth, and we've talked about this a bunch, but when this thing called the beginning happened, he was already there because he never began. It's like the universe stepped up to the starting line and it was like, oh, wow, and it took its first step and there was Jesus. How'd you get here? Oh, I made the starting line and the track and the field, right? I made all this. I was already here. Well, how'd you get here? Just always was. And so in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, God, okay? But here it is, because you know him. You know him. Jesus said, you remember in John 17, you've given them eternal life, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So we've talked about entering into a relationship and then having fellowship, entering into union with Christ, having communion with Christ, your position in Christ, and then the condition of your walk, your standing in Christ and your walk with Christ. And he just says, as a reminder, you know God. And that's not wishful thinking. It's not, I hope you do. You do. You do, right? We'll come back to that because he says it again. I'm writing you young men because you have overcome the evil one. Have overcome, again, happened in the past, remains true. The war is won. The battles continue to be fought, skirmishes, but you defeat a defeated foe. You have prevailed. You have conquered. You are victorious over the wicked one. Did you notice, I'm sure you noticed in the song you just sang, right? Overcome, you overcame. It's a song about Jesus. I'll come back to it in a minute, but the whole idea here from 1 John and in the rest of Scripture is Hebrews 2:14. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil. How did Jesus destroy, conquer, prevail over the devil? He submitted to the greatest weapon the devil has, death, and then said, I'm not staying there, and came back to life. He overcame. You were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, but God made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Listen to this. He disarmed the rulers and authority and put them to open shame by triumphing over them. He had victory on the cross and in the empty tomb. You get it because he got it. He told in John 16, when he's talking to the disciples, the ruler of this world is judged. He's done. His future is certain. Take heart, I have overcome the world, he said. We'll see more about that next week. Everyone who has been, this is huge, we'll see this in a few months, in a few weeks in 1 John 5. Everyone who is born of God overcomes the world. Who is it that overcomes the world? The one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the Son of God, this is my Savior, yes, you overcame. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. So he comes in. So, I mean, if you just want to talk about, again, the minimum level, entry level truths, what better could you teach a kid than sins are forgiven and you have a Father? Isn't that awesome? I mean, if you're a little kid and you can just kind of grasp that, I have a Heavenly Father and he forgives me in Christ, right? And then kind of like a baby recognizes its parents, oh, I know that face, right? And then grows into knowledge and comes to know more and more about, I trust this face, I love this face feeds me, right? This face changes my diaper, this face does stuff, right? And in this case, he's like, you know someone, you've not even seen his face yet. And then he says it again, I write to you fathers because you know him who is from the beginning. So maybe he's taking some progression here, right? You know him, but you know him, right? And I write to you young men because you are strong, three here, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one again. You're strong, you have vigor, right? Tigger says that you have vims and vigors, right? Strong. The word of God is in you. Now, abiding in you. Do you remember what he said earlier in verse 10? If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word of God is not in us. It talks about the truth being in us, so he's saying, you're real about who you are. You're real about who he is. The word of God lives in you. The word of God is living and active, Hebrews 4:12, and it's at home in you. If you remember back in John chapter 5 and John chapter 8, the Pharisees wouldn't believe Jesus. The Pharisees wouldn't trust Jesus, and he looked at them and said, the reason you don't believe me is because my word has no home in you. You're my word, and like the door shuts. And he says, young men, you've opened the door. And so we sing, overcome. All authority, every victory is yours. All authority, every victory is your Savior, worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all of our praise. You overcame. Jesus, awesome in power forever, awesome and great is your name, you overcame. Except for the refrain. We will overcome, how? By the blood of the Lamb. Oh, he gets credit again. Don't we get a verse? Isn't there a verse about how special I am? Come on, give me a verse. I'm your favorite. Just one verse. I want the church to sing, right? No, by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, and the word of our testimony. So you can say to the world and the devil, this is who God says I am. This is what God says about me that's true. And you can speak it, right? And it doesn't become true because you spoke it. It's already true and you speak it. You speak the testimony of my sins are forgiven and I know the one who was from the beginning. I've overcome the evil one because he overcame the evil one. I know the Father. Right? The word of God's in me, and it's true. So there you go. You have been affirmed positively. These are not true things because I spoke them to you. You can take your Bible, read them, and we speak them because they're true. Because God says they're true. Can you believe it? Your sins are forgiven in Christ. There's no condemnation for you. Take that in. No condemnation, no shame, no guilt. Whatever you're carrying, he didn't hand it to you. Whatever debt you feel crushing you, he takes away. So just say it to yourself. I am forgiven for your name's sake. I am forgiven for your name's sake. I don't have to say it enough to wish it were true. I don't have to positive think it enough that it'll become true. I don't manifest it into existence in the universe because I vibrated at the right frequency. It's true because Jesus says it's true. And it's for his glory. To those who are more mature in the faith, what a great thing to strive for. That someone would come along younger in the faith and say, wow, he knows God. She knows the Father. Isn't that a great thing? Not, wow, he's smart. Wow, she's got it figured out. No, that one knows the Father. Somebody spent time with God. So just seeking to know the one you know. Right? We know how that works in relationships. We shouldn't try to put this in something we don't understand. You know people, then you know people. Right? He overcame. You have overcome. You can't overcome. Sometimes we overcome certain things in an instant. Sometimes progressively lies slowly replaced by truth, excuse me. Slowly light overcomes the darkness. He is truth. Christ does this in you. So this isn't flattery. The best thing we can tell each other is the truth. The best thing we can tell each other is the truth. Speak it. And you know what? The best thing you can tell yourself is the truth. You've heard me say this before. I'm going to say it again. Are you ready? Do you know who talks to you more than anybody? You do. That's right. Nobody talks to you more than you do. So you may as well talk back. Right? Am I right? Then you get to the Psalms, and it's like, why are you downcast, O my soul? Hope in God. Right? Do you have somebody who talks like that? Well, I said to myself, self, why don't you do this? And you go, man, do you carry on conversations with yourself like that all the time? Yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. Seems crazy, but sometimes I got to preach to me. And who better to preach to me than me? Not flattery. Not what I'm afraid to say out loud. Truth from God's mouth to my heart. Truth from God to you. Say it, speak it. Tell yourself and tell each other. Pray with me. God, thank you for declaring these things to us. We need it today. We just need it. We need to be reminded of who you are, and we need to be reminded of who we are in you. You have given us incomparable riches, unfathomable riches in Jesus Christ. You have given us every spiritual blessing the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We have everything we need for life and godliness because we know Jesus. And may it be said of Creekside Bible Church, those people know their Father. Those people are living for his name's sake. Something going on there. Those people have overcome and are overcoming. Thank you, God, that we open this text and we say, this is true of us. How good it is to be told truth, no matter how awkward it might be to receive it. Open our hearts to believe it and receive it. In Christ's name.
You've been listening to Sunday Morning at Creekside Church in Spring, Texas. We're glad you joined us. For more information, please check out our website at www.mycreeksidechurch.org.